do 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 do. Welcome to Idea Factory Giveaway, a guest-guided mapping expedition to the borders of human creativity.
I'm John, and this is all my fault.
I'm Besha, and none of this is my fault. How's it going, John?
It goes well. Can I ask, for the benefit of our listenership, what you happen to be doing with all of that yellow felt and scissors?
I'm making a secret.
Oh.
It doesn't really have to be a secret, especially since this will definitely come out after Halloween.
It's true, yes.
I am going to be Princess Carolyn from BoJack Horseman for Halloween, and I have acquired the perfect teal dress, and now I just need to cover it in little yellow fish, and felt seemed like the way to go.
All right, here's the important question I have, which is cat ears? Like, are you going...
The hollow kind that are like that Ariana Grande apparently wears, which I know only because I was looking for them on eBay and found them SEO into Ariana Grande, not like fluffy ones. And I've seen some people online do this costume, like painting themselves completely pink and doing like contoured stage makeup. And I am really just going to put my hair up in a little twist. I might tint it pink.
I feel like that's a good plan. That seems like an excellent one.
I had a couple years in a row where I wore a lot of wigs for Halloween. I was David Bowie from Labyrinth, and I was Eddie from Absolutely Fabulous, and those both required hair I didn't have, and after that I swore never to do anything else that involved, like, hair and makeup.
Got it. No, that makes sense.
There's nothing worse than being, like, drunk and trying to celebrate and, like, having a wig fall off and your head's all sweaty and...
Yeah. No, I can relate. As a person who, you know, occasionally plays Captain Picard in a drunk video series.
Yeah.
And I have to wear, like, that bald cap, which just traps all the heat.
Yeah.
So it's just, yeah. It's
Although bad. You don't really wear it that...
I don't wear it that well.
Precise.
And I don't wear it for super long either. But even so, like, just this, you know,
it's
wearing
disgusting.
It for scenes, it's bad.
People do that every day.
I cannot
They
imagine.
Do that with their... Ugh.
Yeah. No. What have I been up to? I have been... mostly just eating those mystery Oreos that come in the white box.
The what now?
So the Oreo people have put out this thing, this flavor they just call mystery Oreos. Their goal is to make you guess what the flavor is.
And it's a flavor they actually do?
No, this is a new flavor. This, right? Like, you know how they keep rolling out new flavors.
Is every pack different?
No. I don't think so. I think it's one, you know, it's the same flavor in every box of mystery Oreos. But they want people to guess what it is.
Huh.
And my guess, like, which I said as much on Instagram, is that it tastes kind of like if somebody tried to make a cardamom Fruit Loop, and then, like, there was an accident at the factory, and like all of the stuff just went into Oreo cream instead. So. I don't know what that...
I don't think I trust that idea.
It doesn't seem
also,
right.
I just expected it to be like a dum-dum mystery flavor where it's like, you know, it's one of the ones they already do.
Oh, yeah, no, this is something new. This is something new.
So you're eating them, obviously.
Of course.
God.
I've been eating those. I've got a box of the pumpkin spice ones. The pumpkin spice ones, I think, are the same, even though the box looks different.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's the same flavor.
Flavor.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
So, you know, that's me in my life. Is it perhaps time to introduce our guest?
It's like way past time to introduce our guest. Hello, guest.
Hello. How are you?
Excellent. My excellent friend, Sarah, who I have not seen in some time, and I'm so glad that she is here. Sarah, how would you describe yourself / what you do or are up to?
So I am a mass of contradictions and paradoxes. That's how I would describe myself.
Wrapped in an enigma.
Exactly. I'm a very quiet person who has had a radio show in the past, so I've had to figure out how to use my verbal voice thing instead of just listening. And I'm a very visual person, so the verbal voice thing is really difficult.
It's true.
Yeah, but historically I've been a designer, so that's where the visual stuff comes in. I'm obsessed with song lyrics, and so my radio show is about song lyrics. I really like cheese, but I'm not allowed to eat it right now. I know.
Breaks my heart.
I know. It's sad, it's complicated. Anyway, yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Excellent. Well, it's great to have you. And if you are listening to this show for the first time, welcome. Here's what's going on. For the past decade, I've been writing down every stray idea I've ever had the moment I've had it, which has resulted in a pile hundreds deep. That's a lot of ideas. Are they good ideas? Is this a normal amount of ideas for one person to even have? More importantly, are there any ideas in the pile that someone else could pick up and run with? Because I've not done shit with them. To answer these questions, Besha and I have invited Sarah to dig through the heap and see what she finds interesting for your entertainment, horror, or maybe even inspiration. Seriously, if you hear something you like, just grab it and go. I just want credit.
I want a cut. And I want my dog to stop licking my face. Sorry. Carry on.
She's very excited.
So, Sarah, what is first?
So, I think I pulled out some really bad ideas.
Incredible.
No such thing in
dogs. Oh, where to start? Do you want to start with something easy or really, like,
you
crazy
know, here's
hard?
The thing is that the things that seem like they might be easy might, in fact, be hard. and the things that seem like they might be hard could, in fact, be ridiculously simple. It is hard to tell.
Okay, I'm gonna start with a really simple question because this is my first time doing this, and I'm just going to... I wanted to ask what the hell prompted perfume for microphones? Like, do you find microphones smelly? Is
yes.
this a problem that you have a lot?
No, it's not a problem that I have a lot, but I have seen this problem before where the microphones, perhaps like at a venue, you know, that like you're going to play a show or you're someplace where there's mics and people have been using those mics and sometimes they smell bad.
Yeah,
like,
it's kind of gross, right?
Yeah, it doesn't happen all the time. But it is definitely a problem that I've encountered a non-zero number of times. And I feel like they should make perfume for microphones.
Okay. What kind of perfume would it be? Because sometimes perfume is really offensive.
Mystery flavor.
Cardamom yeah. Fruit Loop perfume.
It's true. That I don't know. This is where I would leave it to the market to decide what needs to happen. I think...
Vanilla Fields.
Vanilla seems like a...
Springtime
like
in Paris.
Yeah, you know, like something Febreze-like. Nothing, I'm not talking like a Chanel No. 5 or like something that would be too ostentatiously perfumed-like. Just something that would make, that would mask the nasty odor and make the microphone a pleasant experience for all users.
Fun fact, Febreze originally was unscented. It's actually intended to be an odor
neutralizer.
Mm. And they discovered that people weren't buying it, but
it
when they
freaked people out.
Right. But when they added a fun fragrance, that was a little reward you got for spraying. It made you feel briefly good. You got a little dopamine burst.
Like the unscented Febreze just took away odors and it freaked people out.
Yeah.
They're like, wait a minute.
It's not natural.
That? Yeah.
I know I bought it, but I don't want it.
Fascinating.
Yes.
Anyway.
So, right. Perfume for microphones.
Perfect. Okay. So, here's one that I thought was, it's an art category.
Okay.
Art.
Okay.
Says,
this is always an interesting
always a
category.
Good
like a compendium of TV guides from alternate universes. Brief synopses and longer think pieces from within parallel dimensions about weird crossovers, shows that never happened, strangely off versions of familiar shows, Christmas/Halloween specials, ?
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah. I pictured this almost as like a magazine or even just like a website that's kind of like AV Club but in a parallel reality.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, like it's basically as described, right? Like you, I would enlist every writer friend that I have and just let them run wild. Where, you know, like somebody could review an entire season of a show, you know? Or there would be somebody who just wants to do like episode capsules. There would be, you know, there could be, yeah, but there would also, yeah, exactly. There would be think pieces about like the societal impact of that one episode of,
when
you know,
they dropped
of,
the Z word.
Yeah. Or like that one episode of Friends where everybody turned into Jaguars for no reason. You know what I mean? Like, stuff like that, where it's like just random ass, like weird things, like, oh,
that
like.
That actually happened on Community.
Or like, you know, like a review of the movie where Star Trek and Star Wars finally crossed mm-hmm. over. You know, like, there was who even knows? The BoJack Horseman. Wait, was there? There was a BoJack Horseman Christmas special, I think.
Yeah.
I saw the listing on Netflix and I refused to believe it. Or was it a Christmas special? Was it an episode of the show? Something.
I think it was an episode of the show.
I need to actually watch it because I've watched the rest of it. But yeah. So yeah, basically that's it's basically like an ongoing art project. Slash blog.
Oh yeah. Sorry. I was just reading the synopsis.
Oh, very good, very good.
I'm reminded of the Christmas special Doctor Who 2 or 3 years ago with the dream alien things that that you go over people's heads and they form this hard shell over your head and put you to sleep and make you dream so you don't know that you're asleep. And meanwhile, they are sucking out your brains.
Oh.
Makes sense.
And the doctor figured this out, and it goes into like a series of stories where he tries to wake up whoever
different
his companion
dreamers.
Is at the time and save her from this thing. And every time it ends, you realize that you're still dreaming. It's like dreams within dreams within dreams.
Oh, okay. So it's sort of a combination of Inception and For the Man Who Knows Everything.
It was really, really freaky, and I feel like the end sort of implied that all of Doctor Who is still part of this whole thing. It just never ends.
Was this this was
scary.
This was this had to have been during the
Is this Matt Smith?
No, this like the guy
Peter Capaldi?
I stopped watching after the first Capaldi season, not because he's an amazing actor, but the writing, like, they turned the Doctor into kind of a jerk-ass, so I stopped watching
it. I liked it.
But, no,
the Doctor was always kind of a jerk-ass.
I've heard it got better.
I think that...
That sounds like
really
a good episode.
Added an interesting dimension to the whole series to have him kind of have that dark side.
Sure. Well, the Ninth Doctor had that to him as well.
It was much more drawn out in this one.
Welcome to Doctor Who Cast. You're listening to TARDIS Chat.
That's an idea for your...
No, it's not. So I'm actually going as a Princess Carolyn TARDIS crossover.
God.
That's why I have this bright blue dress.
Oh, God.
Internet attribution QA officer, get in here. Put up the Charlie Brown Led Zeppelin symbol.
Oh, you know what? Actually, I have a question for everybody here, which is, where does one go to purchase a stuffed Snoopy?
You're asking for a friend.
In silence.
I mean, like, because, you know, I am approaching the birth of my child.
Oh,
and I need a Snoopy.
Internet.
Yeah. I'm honestly probably just going to go to Google and just type in where to buy a stuffed Snoopy. Because, like, you know, I mean, like, it's a licensed thing, right? So, like, who has that license? I mean, I can't just, like, go to a, you know. I mean, I know that
Amazon.
I could buy one off Amazon, but I want to hold it first. The Snoopy must be QA'd before it is purchased.
That is real.
Yeah.
You don't want a fake ass Snoopy.
Yeah, so that's the question I have.
Forever.
I could probably call the museum up in Santa Rosa. Maybe they would know.
Walmart?
What? There's a Snoopy museum in Santa Rosa?
Yeah.
I learned so much on this podcast.
All right. Well, this is something that we'll have to take offline. But
they might be kind of busy. Right
you
now,
might even
though.
Find one in a Hallmark.
Oh, that seems possible.
Yeah,
I know where there's a Hallmark
likely.
Store.
Toys R Us.
Okay. All right.
There are some results here.
Great.
Your questions answered.
This is perfect.
That's what I'm here for.
All right, what's next?
Okay, so speaking of crazy dreams and weird things sucking your brain, you have a theory. Dreams are interdimensional windows.
What if it turns out that whenever we sleep, what we're doing is tuning into one of, you know, the infinite number of quantum parallel realities that exist, and we're simply just observing activity?
So I absolutely have dreams like this, which is why I picked this one. Over the last 2 months or so, I've started writing down all of my dreams. And for a while, I never, you know, remembered any dream. I was like, I don't dream. And then I would just get up in the morning and write down... I don't even remember dreaming. Or sometimes it would be like, a girl in a red shirt is all I can remember. And it slowly built until I started remembering my dreams and having records of them in my book here. And I go back and I read through them, and there is a continuity to some of them.
Yeah.
As if it is actually a window into a parallel universe.
I have had this happen as well. Or, like, I revisit certain settings in dreams that are non-consecutive. Oh, yeah.
I remember things that happened in previous dreams that I didn't necessarily remember during the day.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. What's the, I think the creepiest thing about dreams is that, like, when you get deja vu, like, is yours just a general sense of, like, I've seen this before? Because mine specifically is, I've seen this in a dream before.
Mine's just a sense of really, really loopy, like, I have a tenuous grasp on time anyway.
No shame.
And I think sometimes my brain just gets into loops, and, like, I have this feeling that I remember something from the future, even if it's days or months in the future,
certainly,
or sometimes just minutes, but I just get this feeling of this, like, loopy, I've been here before. It's very psychedelic. I don't know.
Yeah, for me, it always comes from dreams, and I don't know. I mean, like, I would be curious to know if anybody else, like, how does everybody else specifically experience their deja vu? Just a question. Just a question.
Mine is usually, you know, I've been in this situation before, sitting in this exact chair, hearing my roommates talk about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Never dreams, though.
Fascinating.
Yeah, so the parallel universe that is most commonly reoccurring in my dream is me and, like, everybody that I've ever known in my life live in this gigantic house together.
Fuck, that sounds so good.
It's so cool. Slash, sometimes it's a village, or, like, or we're away at summer camp. And so there's, like,
seems plausible.
Yeah, there's just, like, this village full of all of the people that are somewhat vaguely familiar to me, and sometimes people that I haven't met yet. And often we're just hanging out in this house doing cool things, like having dinner. One time we were having dinner around this table, and there was a big picture window in the dining room, and you look out and somebody, like three people with machine guns, are stalking the house.
Well, that's troubling.
It's a little scary.
Yeah.
Like, weird things happen in this dimension.
Hmm.
But the really trippy part is I've had a series of dreams where, you know, me and all of my friends are sitting in this big house, and we seem to be learning how to create dream technology. And that's, like, what we do for fun, is pop in and out of people's dreams.
Nice.
Instead of watching movies, we make dreams. And it gives me this feeling that my, like, waking reality is one of the dreams that this group of friends has created for me to live out.
I mean, the possibility cannot be completely mathematically excluded. So, you know, there you go.
And there was another one where, here's one that was really trippy. So I'm at summer camp with all my friends and all the people that I've ever known in my life. And we're sitting there taking a class, because it's summer camp and you learn things.
Sure.
And the class is, it's like a coding class, like engineering, coding, some sort of coding language.
Sure.
And the thing that we're learning how to do is we're drawing these little swirly graphics, like little spirals.
Mm-hmm.
And they're rough and kind of stupid, but we're just doing it as proof of concept. And what it turns out is that these little swirls are like your coder's signature on the dream. And then when I woke up, I was like, oh, it's like their fingerprints. So that's how I got that idea, where it's like all of our fingerprints are actually the signatures of the person who coded our waking reality dreams.
That's pretty great.
Multi-layered.
Yes, that's pretty great. We'll just let everybody digest that for a moment. Feel free to pause the podcast.
There has been plenty of fiction in which, you know, dreams are an alternate reality. Somebody goes to sleep and they wake up as the barbarian warlord, and then they wake up again and go back to work.
Sure, sure.
But that's pretty cool.
I could go for it just being large scale. Like, not just that one dude falls asleep and has true dreams, but that we all do.
Yeah.
It's like that episode of Star Trek TNG where Worf visits parallel quantum realities. It's like that, just like in waking life and over a much wider variation. Anyway.
Have you read the comic Infinite Vacation?
I have not.
It was super cool and trippy, and you should totally check it out.
Who's it by?
I don't remember.
Well, I will find out later.
But I think it's Image.
That sounds like it could be an Image book for sure.
And you have like a mobile app that you and your other counterparts in alternate realities can trade places.
Oh, nice.
For money.
Somebody come in here and deal with my family kind of thing?
Kind of, but it's more like the me who is a surfer dude on a beach shack in Hawaii farms out snippets of his life so that the me who has a boring corporate job can get away.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
The ending is weird, but the concept.
But it's a strong concept.
That's great. Or like, you know, there's literally infinite. So the you who didn't talk to that girl on the bus trades places with the you who has the chance to meet her again.
Oh.
Yes. Boom.
I love it.
Right?
What is next?
So let's go from that to, oh geez. There's a lot of stuff here. Where do we go from here? Let's go from that to artificial intelligence.
Okay.
This is a service.
Okay.
Agents. It's an AI that lives in the cloud. Agents are a copy of their user's mind with the purpose of consuming and recommending media that the user may not have time to seek out and vet on their own.
Yes.
Agents must be synced with their user on a weekly basis to avoid critical divergence events. There's more. Agents can talk to one another to better collect and disseminate recommendations. And agents may not be placed in a physical mobile platform.
I came up with this idea with Kate on the way home, like on like a, we were on a road trip or something. Without realizing that basically what I had created was a benevolent version of
Amazon algorithm?
No, of the Black Mirror Christmas special, where like, right, like you copy your mind state into software. So like now there's a me who lives in software, and software John's only job is to just read
science fiction for you.
Yeah. It's just like, and because I'm being simulated in software, I could do it much, much faster, right? So I could ping software John and be like, hey, software John, what's good in African science fiction, find, recommend me some like good Afrofuturism, and he'll be like, cool, I'll be right back. And 5 seconds later, he'll have read all of it, and he comes back and he's like, here's 3 books that I think you would like.
These are the ones that I know you will like.
Yeah, exactly. Let's say Software John can talk to Software Kate, and Software Kate has been reading, all the agents connect with each other, and then they can recommend all kinds of stuff, and then they come back and they're like, yeah, it's like the ultimate personalized recommendation.
Somebody wrote a short story that you realize eventually the characters are avatars in a dating sim.
Oh.
Not even a sim, a dating site.
Okay.
Where they upload their personalities and they go on dates every night and every day until they find someone who clicks, and they have to say, I'd really like to see you again before midnight.
Oh.
Or they never see each other again because there's so many avatars.
Oh, wow.
Even though their days are endless.
I love this.
Wow.
And then, but it's just their lives. It is them being like, oh, it's another night. It's another dinner party. How did I? Now I'm in Egypt. Now I'm drifting down the Nile on a boat.
Wow, fuck.
Yeah.
I think at some point along this road trip, Kate and I then posited that perhaps agents would begin to generate their own content.
Yeah.
Like,
I believe that.
Yeah. Like Software John would eventually start to write Star Trek fan fiction.
Well, yeah.
And he would have enough time because, again, he's being simulated in software. He'd have enough time to write a bunch of it and, like, edit it down to just the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What does that do to the world of, like, just content and creativity in general? There'd be so much of it, I think, that no actual human would ever be able to catch
only
up.
Only the avatars would.
the avatars would just be, avatar culture might move so quickly. Like, you know what I mean?
It would rapidly become unrecognizable.
Yeah, in the space of 24 hours, like, my Software John would read all available stuff that there is, write everything that, you know what I mean? Like, who knows? Depending on the speed of the processor.
My favorite horrifying thing in this was where they're like, I mean, some people, they say that maybe we're just everyone's actually dead and we're just in a machine that's infinitely running simulations of how we would feel dating each other. Maybe there is no real world anymore.
Incredible.
Well, there's enough content being generated in entertainment media and the internet that it seems like this could possibly be the case mm-hmm. already. Like, I was going mm-hmm. to ask, does Software John have a day job and go on vacation and do things to stimulate his creativity?
That's why he's got a sync every week.
Yeah, yeah. Software John syncs up with
me. It's not that John doesn't have that creativity. It's that John doesn't have that time, I think.
Yeah. And if we leave Software John to run too long on his own, his mind state begins to diverge from mine irreparably, I think.
Like,
he starts to develop really weird
taste. Are way above baseline.
Yeah. Cells. Interlinked.
Interlinked.
And so something would have to be done to bring Software John back into alignment. So that's the idea.
Amazing. You mentioned the Christmas episode of Black Mirror, and I remember now that's the one with John Hamm.
Yup.
And oh my god, it was really good.
There were like five really good ideas in that, and like they just mashed them all in there.
Yeah.
For just the maximum amount of impact and horror, and it was just
horrifying. It was incredible. The scariest Black Mirror episode is Playtest, in my estimation.
I got no dog in this race.
Guy traveling Europe needs to make extra money, finds an ad where he can come play test a prototype video game.
Right, yeah, yeah. It's like it's augmented reality.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't I don't know. The social media one was pretty scary.
That was scary in a different way.
Yes. I mean, that's right. They're mm-hmm. all scary in a different way. So it's like, it's a whole thing.
Anyway.
I think we have time for one more.
Okay. Let's just go ridiculous now. This is the nonsense category.
Brilliant.
I just want to make a disclaimer that if I say things like stop or you're disgusting. It's because my dog is licking my face. It's not John. It's not Sarah. They are great.
I'm playing footsie with her under the table.
Ugh. Stop. Your breath is disgusting.
Do you ever like when somebody is playing footsie with you under the table, do you ever just like confront them? Be like, stop. You're disgusting.
You're destroying this family.
Anyway. Okay, nonsense category. Great Pumpkin as OkCupid deity.
I believe... Here's what it is.
You don't remember.
No, I remember it perfectly, and it's going to take a little bit of time. I think that the established religion of OkCupid should be Great Pumpkinism. Because the entire idea of the Great Pumpkin, if you will recall, is that you are supposed to have a pumpkin patch.
Mm-hmm.
And you are supposed to groom that pumpkin patch in a way that it is sincere. And the most sincere pumpkin patch is the one in which the Great Pumpkin chooses to appear. Just like your OkCupid profile should be like you know what I mean? Like it should be sincere enough that the person you want appears as the Great Pumpkin would, unpredictably,
My OkCupid profile has never been sincere.
Yeah, I mean, like, sincerity is the wrong, like, I mean, like, it can't be mapped
one to one. Hashtag authentic.
Yeah, it can't be mapped one to one exactly. But the idea being that, like, right, like, the Great Pumpkin appears in a place that you cultivate. And, you know, to whatever criteria, like, in the actual Great Pumpkin's case, it's the sincere pumpkin patch. But the OkCupid version, you know, is whatever is, I mean, I would say maybe appealing, right? Like, you're trying to craft an appealing profile. But I feel like Great Pumpkinism is the perfect fit, if you will. Especially given that the tenets of Great Pumpkinism are so light-wing. Like, as far as I know, it's just you have to make
an especially demanding religion. There's really only one pillar.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So this has nothing to do with How I Met Your Mother.
What do you want?
I don't think so. I've never seen an episode of How I Met Your Mother.
You haven't?
I have not.
What?
What? Are you done with Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Not yet, actually.
Never.
Can we queue up How I Met Your Mother after that?
Possibly.
Oh my god.
What makes you think that
this could be good?
It would be a good fit for me.
Well, it has enough absurdism but romantic okay. at heart.
Okay.
And
that does sound like John.
Yeah, you know, it's like it's well. There's a whole thing about the Great Pumpkin.
Oh.
Maybe it's not the Great Pumpkin. It's just he met a girl in a pumpkin suit at one Halloween costume. And then never got her info, and so he was always looking for the pumpkin at every Halloween party.
That's what Mavis should be.
Oh, God.
Probably pumpkin? A little late.
It's probably a little late. Yeah, though, that's a great idea. I will float this to her, perhaps, when I get home.
But you just need, like, a really, really big orange dress and a green hat and a Sharpie.
This actually was the subject of a tweet that I made just a couple of days ago, because I realized that I don't know what the Great Pumpkin looks like. And I would bet you that most artists that I know have different concepts of what the Great Pumpkin is. Like,
it's not just a giant pumpkin?
I have always pictured it as sort of like a sheet ghost with a giant pumpkin where the head of the sheet ghost would be.
What?
Yeah. Like, because it's literally never been canonically represented, nobody knows, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the best we can do is that Linus thinks that the shadow of Snoopy with his flight goggles on is the Great Pumpkin. But, like, but that's it. Like, we, you know, I mean, and clearly he was delirious at the time.
How so, long does it take to do an image search on the Great Pumpkin and reach Star Wars? How many degrees to Star Wars?
In this day and age of pop culture mashup, I can only imagine, like, milliseconds.
Internet attribution QA officer needed.
That again.
We have now reached that part of the podcast where one of us gives a terrible recommendation, or perhaps we showcase an idea from our guest. Sarah, have you ever had an idea that you wanted to sort of, like, get out of your head and into the masses?
I've never had any Ow. Ideas in my
do
life.
Do not bite me.
I somehow do not believe
this. Today, while riding my bike, I came up with the idea to make a little logo that highlighted the struggle bus.
Okay.
Like, let me off the struggle bus, or I'm on. I don't know exactly what the slogan is, but, like, I'm just... it's just a thing where, you know... Life is a struggle bus, or life is sometimes you're on the struggle bus.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sometimes it's just a life bus, and sometimes it is specifically
the struggle bus. Yeah.
I like it. I like it, and I have faith in your ability as a designer to, like, really make that, like, work.
It might happen.
I believe it. I believe it. I don't think I have anything else.
I have a really terrible recommendation.
Oh, please.
Buy a little, like, black light flashlight and look at your house with it.
Oh, God.
They make these for, specifically for detecting puppy pee, which is why yeah. I got it. But, I learned a lot about my hallway. I learned a lot about my pillows, which I think it's, like,
drool.
I think it's drool and also probably laundry detergent because it has a lot of fluorescent stuff in it.
It's true.
I discovered that dog food fluoresces bright green.
Incredible.
And so does peanut butter, which I guess makes sense if you think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does all protein
that's
go
my,
to bright green?
I think that that's what's going on.
Cool.
Yeah. We found spots of my roommate's makeup where he's been, like, touching up before going out. Where there's just, like, beautiful pink stuff all over the house, but the hallway now I don't walk down barefoot. So that's what I learned. But I was very disappointed to learn that blood isn't naturally fluorescent. You have to, like, it has to react with some particular powder, so I can't look for bloody handprints on my walls.
You know what?
Until my next Amazon shipment gets here.
Amazing. You can find me on Twitter or Instagram. As Ferocious J, the word ferocious, the letter J. I also have a newsletter at tinyletter.com/ferociousj. It's got collections of interesting articles I found on the internet, links to things I've made, and a couple of dedicated rambles, one of which I just call #dadthoughts. I send it out when the show updates. I guarantee it's exactly the kind of thing you can happily read over breakfast or while you are bored at work.
You can find me on Twitter as Besha, B-E-S-H-A. I don't produce any good original content, but I think my RTs are pretty good.
I agree.
Thanks.
yeah, I have a Twitter account too. Weird. At Sour Jane, SourJayne. Instagram is the same thing, and I use that more, so you might want to follow me there.
This podcast is available pretty much anywhere you listen to them: Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Google Play Music. Whatever platform you're using, please consider leaving us a nice review or a rating, as it helps more people discover us and increases the chance of one of the ideas you've just heard actually being picked up by somebody out there.
I would extend a challenge to those of you who have not yet done this to go ahead and do it, just because I think that you can do it, and I believe in you. I believe in you with all my heart.
I don't, so either prove me wrong or make John happy.
Never underestimate the power of spite. Thank you in advance. And remember, if you've heard an idea you like, go ahead and do it. I just want credit.
I want a pet.